Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
All right, let's stand together in Acts chapter number 11. I like to go to the book of Acts once in a while. It's a great book. It's a fantastic history of who we are and our genesis as the church, the bride of Christ. And we never want to get away from the practical principles that were given to us by the early church. They worked then, they work now. They went through some trial and error in the process, and they had to make adjustments. And we can learn by simply following their pattern, not to repeat the same kinds of mistakes. Who was on the Lord's side? It says in verse number 19 in chapter 11, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen. It's an interesting statement right there. Persecution began to increase in the city of Jerusalem. You remember the charge that Jesus gave his disciples. You are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone and make disciples of everyone. Well, one of those errors that they made early on was they liked hanging around in Jerusalem. And so God allowed some persecution, built a little fire underneath them, and they started to get scattered all over the place because they were going beyond Jerusalem to Samaria, to Judea, right, to the uttermost parts of the world. Well, they began to scatter after the persecution that arose over Stephen. Read about Stephen. He was one of those that was called to serve by the apostles and asked to help take care of those that had practical needs. And he was one that was bold in the Lord and unafraid to share the gospel with those who were giving him a hard time. And it cost him his life. He was one of the early martyrs of the church. So the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus. See, they were starting to go to the ends of the earth now. And Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. So the Gentiles now start to hear, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So miracle of miracles, what Jesus asked them to do was starting to happen, right? People were coming to know and respond to the message of the gospel. So Father, by your Holy Spirit, illuminate truth to us in a culture that lacks truth. Goodness, or makes up its own truth day after day, or twists the truth and turns everything that's right side up, upside down. Thank you for transformational truth that changes us because it's the truth we know that sets us free. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Abraham Lincoln was once challenged as we engaged in the Civil War to free human beings from slavery. And here's what he was challenged with, quote, let us pray, God is on our side. And Lincoln listened to that for a moment, and then he responded, and he said, no, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side. For God is always right. Amen? And more than anything in our culture, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be on the Lord's side. There was a day in the history of Israel when once again God's people reverted to the ways they had learned from their culture. There's always this danger that we can get culturalized and become adapted to the ways of our culture. Like those without God, the people of God began to worship other gods. Now, we may not have statues we bow to, but certainly we've got a lot of other distractions that take our attention away from the one true God. As is always, God's people then found an excuse, and today find an excuse for the slippage. Now, it was an accident. It just happened. We grew cold and comfortable, and we lost confidence in the leadership that you gave us. That's what the accusation was when Moses was their leader. Today's spiritual leadership decided to make everyone happy in our culture and among the culture of the church. Happy messages will now be spoken to everybody in our churches. Let's not talk about lifestyles. Let's just feel good. And we wonder why our culture has not only walked away from God, now the culture is turning on the church. You wonder why? Because they look at us and say, you don't have anything better than we've got. They said to me, this is recorded, this is Aaron speaking in response to the challenge of his brother Moses, make us gods who will lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. So I told them, whoever's got gold jewelry, take it off. And when they brought it to me, I simply threw it into the fire and out came this calf. Moses saw that Aaron had let the people get completely out of control. What a charge against spiritual leadership. God help us in the day we're living in. And then, man, I could preach here. I could say some things right here. Let the people get completely out of control. And if that's not happened in our culture, I don't know when it has happened, right? Much to the amusement of their enemies. Look at this sentence. Because the culture around them began to see they no longer had spiritual backbone. They no longer were serving the one true God. They quickly, easily turned their back on him when any pressure was applied. And all of a sudden now the culture's laughing at them, mocking them because their spiritual leadership no longer had the ability to keep them focused in the right direction. If there ever was a day from the pulpits of America, pastors need to be watchmen, it is today. And they need to speak loudly and clearly and biblically the principles of God's word. Okay? Man, there's a message in that sentence. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and shouted, all of you, Moses said, who are on the Lord's side, come here and join me. And all the Levites gathered around him. I won't tell you what happened to the rest of the people that decided not to go over, but you can read that for yourself. Just scroll down a little bit, and you'll see how God responded to that. When we stand clearly on the Lord's side, he will stand with us. And the hand of the Lord will manifest once again when we're on the side of the Lord. And I believe a great awakening awaits America's return back to God. There will be great numbers and a great spiritual harvest in these last days. There will be increase because the hand of the Lord is with us. It's an interesting phrase. The hand of the Lord was with them. It could have read, the Lord was with them. But it says, the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number turned, believed and turned. That's what happened when the message of the gospel was preached. But when you look at the word, you'll see this statement used time and time again. The hand of the Lord. Simon the sorcerer in Acts 13. A specialist in witchcraft and the black arts. And that's why we're going to do Camelot, and we're not going to have a Halloween event on our campus. We're going to do Camelot. We're not going to glorify evil and witches and demons and devils and the black arts. Using his craft, Simon, he held the whole region under fear and intimidation. But the man of God, seeing this evil work being done, made a pronouncement. And now indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, Peter said to him, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeing someone or seeking someone to lead him by the hand. God demonstrates his authority over wickedness because his followers become totally committed to him. The hand of the Lord came upon the one causing issues in the culture. Now, I'm believing that when we turn back to God's side on issues and matters that he's already given us in his word, that the hand of God will be with us. In life, we face obstacles and issues and challenges beyond our human capability. It's true for all of us, no matter what generation we've grown up in. And those who came before me, they would counsel our families and the members of our church whenever we were facing any kind of dilemmas. Let's just put this in the hand of God. Amen? Let's just put this in the hand of God. We will trust the Lord. This is not a time for us to be afraid. This is not a time for us to cower in fear. This is not a time for us to back up. We may be troubled. We may be fearful about what we're watching in our culture every day. Put your trust in God. Amen? Do not be afraid, Jesus said. Do not be afraid, because the Father desires to give you his kingdom. We've got nothing to fear. We belong to the greatest kingdom that has ever been or ever will be assembled. Amen? The kingdom of our God. So in Exodus 3, God makes a statement in support of his people. So I will raise my hand and strike the Egyptians. I will raise my hand and strike the Egyptians, because they were getting on the side of the Lord, performing all kinds of miracles among them. Then at last, he, Pharaoh, will let you go. What was the result of God's people when God, upon God's people, when God stretched out his hand to put the culture in check? When they got on the side of the Lord, God put the culture in check. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. So the hand of the Lord will come against your enemies when you're on the Lord's side. The hand of the Lord will bring judgment on your enemies when you're on God's side. The hand of the Lord will compensate you from what was stolen from you. See? So we live in a precarious day. So have God's people throughout human history. And while there is abuse of power, corruption in the highest places, and injustices and imbalances in justice like we've never seen, I haven't in my lifetime, because, again, we're going to have a hearing next week. Are you excited about another hearing for Congress? I mean, you should just jump up and cheer that someone is going to actually pay for doing evil, but nothing will come of it, because it never does. When we stand with God, God will stand with you. Amen? Now watch. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out of this place. Amen? Amen. By strength of hand, by God's strong hand, Israel was delivered from Egyptian bondage. Now among the Jews, there's an interesting item that the Orthodox Jews will wear in their prayer time. It's called a tefillin. It's a set of small black leather boxes, and it will contain in them a parchment inscribed with some verses from the Torah. They are worn by observant Jews during their weekday morning prayers. These boxes are tied either to their forearm or to around their forehead. And when praying, Orthodox Jews will have these boxes containing scriptures tied to themselves. So when they wear them, and the next generation coming after them, their children, take heed, folks, because our children need to look at us and get the cues they need as to how to serve God. For the next generation, when the observant Jew is wearing that and praying from that, and you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done, I'm wearing this, because of what the Lord did for me when I came up out of Egypt. It shall be a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, the Lord brought you out of Egypt. We need to teach our children our godly heritage. We need to model that before them all day long, not how we live our lives in this culture. The generations who are following us need to be deprogrammed, because now for nearly five decades, the generations that have come after us have been brainwashed by junk that's been taught to them and fabrications and untruths and undocumented materials that our children need to be deprogrammed from and now taught the truth, basics, things they need for skill sets in their lives, and everything based on biblical values. Learning with a strong hand, God always delivers his people. We need to get the next generations on the Lord's side. Because if we get on the Lord's side, God will fight for us. God brought us out of bondage. Listen to this testimony in Exodus. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And here's a question we in the church are asking, and it demands an answer. And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Can God do something in this culture of ours, as wild as it's gotten, and as crazy and off the rails as it's come, as far from the covenant that our founding fathers based their truths on and forming our government? When you need a miracle individually, when our community needs an economic revolutionary turnaround and a biblically based elected leadership, when our nation needs a third great awakening, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Does God still fight for his people? Do God's people stand up for him? That's the bigger question. Do God's people still stand up for him? Can God provide a table in the wilderness? They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he also provide bread? Can he provide meat for his people? Has God's hand been withdrawn? Can he still provide for us? Can God perform the needed miracle? Can God still bless his people? Will God visit America once again? Anybody want to respond to that? Will God visit America once again? God can and he will. When Moses had a fresh challenge leading the people in the wilderness, God spoke. Do you think that the same God who brought you out of Egyptian bondage, now that you're hungry and thirsty, cannot provide for you, cannot take care of you? So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Not a good thing to say to God when he's providing you fresh angels' food every single morning that's got everything in it you will need ever for health in your lives, for strength in your bodies. He says, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see what I say will happen to you or not. So God says, sure, put me to the test. Watch what I'm capable of doing. God says to every person, you're believing God for a turnaround. You're believing God for a miracle, for an answer to prayer. You're believing God for fresh provision. You're believing God for healing in your body. Who is on the Lord's side? Stand with God, and he can and he will respond when we stand with him. He's saying, do you think my hand cannot touch your body and heal any disease? Do you think my hand is incapable of blessing your financial business? Do you think that with my hand I cannot give you creative ability? Do you think I can't set your children free from drugs? Do you think I cannot deliver you today from the squeeze that you're feeling in this culture? Do you think that my hand is so short I cannot provide exactly what you need? Do you think my supply has incurred a shortage? Do you think that's where we are today? That we're a mess and we have no capability of fixing the dilemma that we find ourselves in? Now, I was listening to a specific song this morning early, and it was a phenomenally great song that was recorded back when Jimmy Carter was president. And there were long gas lines and high interest rates. Sound familiar? Uh-huh. And it was called No Shortage. There's a shortage on wheat. There's a shortage on gas. It went on with some lyrics that were incredible, and they're so applicable to the moment. So I told my friends who recorded that, I said, hey guys, you need to revive that because we're reliving all of that again today. I mean, but there's no shortage on God's provision, none whatsoever. God still can provide a table in the wilderness. Amen? Thank you, Lord. You know, I was thinking about this. American-made products don't get stuck on cargo ships. It's kind of true, isn't it? Yeah. Our former president was very interested in getting a lot of our economy strengthened right here in the United States. And we lost a lot of momentum here. And those ships are sitting out at sea. And because people are getting paid to stay home, all the products on them are remaining there. We are living in a very delicate and precarious time. God's saying, do you think I'm weak and my hand is short so my blessings can't reach you, that I can't help you? Look at how God will honor those who honor him. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Think about that. That man being on the side of God and loving God as the prophet of his day, because of that, as long as he lived, the Philistines were held at bay. Why? Samuel honored the Lord. But I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me, God said. And then it says, Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. This was a man of God, right? Samuel prayed, Samuel fasted, Samuel honored God, and because Samuel put God first, God's hand was with Samuel, and his enemies could never be successful against Israel all the days of his life. God, give us leadership like that again, amen? I'm praying that as God held back the Philistines all the days of Samuel, that the church in America will return to honoring God. And as a result, God will hold back the enemies attacking our great land. I believe that with all my heart. Because like Philistine terrorists who used to raid Israel, so there are those currently stalking and trying to raid the United States of America of our values and of our principles and remake the way this country operates. Who is on the Lord's side? I was looking at what General Washington said as he was getting ready to take the Continental Army and put it together so he could resist the British. He said, the time is near at hand which must determine whether Americans are to be free men or slaves. Let me quote that to you again. The time is near at hand which must determine whether Americans are to be free men or slaves. And if we were ever again at that spot, we're there now. Again, we're there today. We must stand up. We must push back. We must stand on what our fathers handed at us in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. We are Americans. It's called We the People. Who is on the Lord's side, right? Who is left that will still honor God and the principles of his word? Is there a remnant still in America that will fast and pray and return to honoring God so we can see restoration once again in our land? Listen, and the key to this is the strength of prayer. And I'm not talking about prayers where you check the box. I checked in and out today, Lord, so my praying's done. No, it's a continual crying before God and pleading with God and believing God and expressing faith in his mighty hand that gets God's attention. And once we get God's attention, because in the process of praying what I just described, there will be deep repentance that will happen deep in our hearts, because while we're praying and communicating with God and we pause, he will speak about some things. You know what? You know, I want to do those things for you, for your country, for the land, but we need to work on something in your spirit that needs correcting in this process. And when we start doing that, that's what it meant when it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, right? When we pray, God will go to work. A group of Ohio clergymen representing more than 100 congregations across their state signed a letter this past Monday that was addressed to President Biden, detailing why they strongly disapprove of his directive, according to the Frontlines Ohio. Quote, as clergymen from 101 diverse congregations across North Central Ohio, we would like to note that this unnecessary mandate by your office is in sharp contrast to the statement you made as president-elect on December 4, 2020, when you stated you would not impose a national vaccine mandate, the letter said. It also points out that on October 7, 2020, Vice President Kamala Harris stated she would not take a COVID-19 vaccine if ordered by the President of the United States, end quote. The pastors draw attention to the virus high survival rate, which has raised issues over why the Biden administration is mandating that people receive the vaccine. Quote, the federal government should not impose its will on persons by mandating COVID-19 experimental vaccines and removing other alternative treatments. The people should have the ability to make their own health decisions, they said, end quote. And let me finish this quote. This unilateral and divisive order is unethical and tantamount to what a totalitarian king would dictate, the missive continued. Furthermore, Mr. President, with respect to your vaccine mandate, we respond by saying, we have no king but King Jesus. Awesome. Awesome. Thank God for some preachers that are waking up in America, right? Amen. Luke says, Jesus speaking, but take heed to yourselves and be on your guard, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed, weighed down with the giddiness and heart and headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness, and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life, unless that day come on you suddenly like a trap or a noose. Yeah, very scary moments he's describing here. And saints, we have got to be alert and awake and fully energized with the power of the Holy Spirit, living in the day that we're living in. And when we pray our prayers and really mean them, and our hearts get cleansed in this process, then we are aligning ourselves with God. We are getting on God's side. And when we get on God's side, watch what God will do on behalf of the people who get on his side. Amen? Remember his hands. We need his hands. We need to be in his hands. If we're anywhere else, we're in serious trouble. And the church cannot afford to continue down the path she's been on for the last 50 years. Israel attempted that. How often they defied and rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. And time and again, they turned back and tempted God, provoking and incensing the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not seriously the miracles of the working of his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. How many today remember where you were when God found you and redeemed you? Can you remember? I remember where I was when God Do you remember where you were when God performed a miracle and healed you? Does anybody remember that moment in your life? You began an orphan, hopeless, where there was no future for you, and he gently picked you up with his strong hand and brought you to himself. Don't ever forget his hand. In a fresh challenge, in the day of great distractions, in a day when good has become the enemy of the best, in a day when a way seems right to man, but the end of it is destruction, remember the faithfulness of God. Remember how good he's been to you. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Read this aloud with me when they put it up on the screens. Right out loud. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. That's a powerful prayer and a powerful response. Amen. Notice that in one of his four requests, Jabez, that presented before the Lord, he said, that your hand would be with me, that your hand would be upon me. In the middle of all you do, all your planning, all your dreams, all your activities, stop and seek the hand of the Lord. Boy, if there was ever a day when the church needed the hand of the Lord to show itself mighty, it's today. I was looking at this in Acts, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Amen? I'm believing God for a great awakening in America. I really am. I'm believing that. And it's going to start with the church, because judgment always needs to begin in the house of the Lord first. Then it will bleed into our culture, and we'll go from deficit to surplus, from negative to positive, from subtraction to not just addition, but multiplication, because we seek to honor God by putting him first, and then his hand will be with us. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. You command me, God said through the prophet. And the word command means to commission. God says, when I am first in your life, I give you the right to commission the work of my hands. God says, I want you to ask me boldly, then place the matter in my hands, and I want you to come to me expecting my response. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. So when we conclude in prayer here today, be sure you assign your issues and challenges to his hands. But before you do that, have you been honoring God? Is he first in all areas of your life? And target the areas of letdown in your life and then place those in his hands. Put that struggle, your business, your marriage, your son, daughter, your financial dilemma, put that in his hands and take your hands and your children, parents, take your children and put your children in the hands of God. You know, our pilgrim founders had a covenant they made with God, and they pledged themselves to serve him and to evangelize this new found country and colonies. And they committed themselves completely to him. And God's hand was on them and blessed them and prospered them. Right now, we're in the middle of a war with Satan's plans. But God still has a plan for his church. And I remember David's plea where he says in Psalm 11, he's calling on the Lord and he assumes a position with God and he asks him, Lord, what can the righteous do when the foundations are removed? What can we do? He said. And then he said, but God is in his temple, and God is on his throne. in the middle of being surrounded by adversaries and enemies threatening to destroy him, the warrior King David kept his eyes fixed on the Lord, and so must we, embattled right now in the war that we're in our culture. We must keep ourselves fixed on the warrior King who's leading the charge and ordering our steps. Amen? Put your children, put everything about your life in the hands and trust of the Lord God. Take your hands and make a cup with them right now. Do that, okay? And put your problems right into that cup. Just mentally do that right now. Do that. Anything that's looming, anything that's troubling you, a child that's astray, a circumstance in your home, a physical need that you need, put that right in the middle of the cup of your hands. Now lift that cup up toward the Lord and put those issues that are in your hands in God's hands and say, Father, I can't handle this, but with your mighty hand, you can handle these things. And trust him and commit to him that you'll keep him first in all your decisions. And as you put God first, as you repent that he's not been first in every area of your life, when you're praying, he will reveal those to you. And then do this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. If there's been something the church has been guilty of, especially in the last 4 decades, it's been leaning on our own understanding, substituting all kinds of things and entertainment and stylized, thinking somehow that's going to garner favor with the culture that we live in, and that somehow, some way, they're going to like us, and then they'll come and fill our churches, and then we're going to be okay. Listen to me, folks. There's no substitute for the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. A smoke machine is not going to, in any way, bring the presence of the Holy Spirit by itself. We need the power and presence of God. So lean not on your own understanding. When we began to drift from reliance on him to reliance on our smart ideas, that's why we are where we are. In all, say all. What does that mean? All. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Jesus put it like this: seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And then listen, we will commission the hand of the Lord when we reach that point to deal with every situation we face. I told you in March of 2020, when this thing burst out among the culture, was released, and it made its way across the oceans to America, I stood in this platform and I said to this church, this is a test. This is a test like which we have not endured in I don't know how long in this culture. And there's very little, if any, middle ground in this test. It's either pass or fail. And how we track in this test will determine a lot about our future and where we land. This is a test. We're in a test. God's allowed the test to separate the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the tares. And we can commission the hand of God when we have come down, like Moses said to the people that day, watching what was going on and watching his own spiritual leadership fail in the midst of a test. Then he called for that demarcation. Who is on the Lord's side? Who's on his side? If there ever was a clarion call that needs to be made again today, it's that call. Who is on the Lord's side? Right? We can command and commission the hand of God when we're on his side to deal with anything we face. Your children being culturalized today If you see your child in a relationship, even if it seems good, and you've decided to adopt the attitude of the culture, well, I just want him or her to be happy. That's not enough, parent. Is this person the will of God for your son or your daughter? That's biblical parenting. And you need to pray that God will intervene and save your child from an error that can take them far away from the plan that he had for them. Don't ever allow the enemy to derail God's plans for your children. Don't allow the enemy to steal your children. We've allowed that to go on too long in this culture. You can take your child and place your child in the hands of the Lord when you're putting God first. Right. Now, Lord, look on these threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. My goodness, they prayed so much in the will of God that at the end of that prayer, the foundations of that building began to shake in the power and the vibration of the Holy Spirit. Saints, you are the body of Christ on earth. And when he's truly head of our lives, he will stretch out his hand through us to heal, for signs and wonders to be done through his mighty name. Where? Right here, right now, in our day. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Amen. His hand will exalt you in due time. Take it all out of your hands and put it in God's hands. You know, when you get to that moment, peace fills your heart. I was talking to someone this morning who's been in a dilemma, and we all face them, don't we? Dilemmas. And I remember when we were facing the dilemma of praying for our son when we were driving out here for the first time nearly 30 years ago. And I remember talking to the Lord. Donna was taking a nap. My little Peaches nose was right here on my shoulder while I was driving. But most importantly, I was talking to him. And I was praying and asking God to get to the deepest recesses of my being. And from gut level prayer, I asked God, and I was talking to him about the dilemma my son was in, and the trap he'd been caught in. And God spoke as clearly into that vehicle that day as I've ever heard him speak to me. And he said, I will restore your son. From that moment on, I was never worried about that again. I kept praying, but I was not worried. Someone spoke to me today about that, and they'd reached that point in their life where you reach this level and this place where all of a sudden you remember how much he cares about you, and then all of a sudden the foundations of your faith grab hold of the promised covenant of God and you own it. Amen? Because he dumps it right into your spirit, and all of a sudden peace fills you about something you've got no control over whatsoever. His hand will exalt you in due time. Take it out of your hands and place it in God's hands. You see, this is why the Word of God talks about the laying on of hands in the church. It's a foundational principle, stone of our faith. In Hebrews 6, the elementary principles of Christ, say elementary. Elementary, those of you that have been to school understand, elementary is your foundations, right? It's the basis of your education. It says the elementary principles of Christ, and he lists them. Repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, these are elementary, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. That what lies ahead of us is a full and complete inspection, okay? So the foundations of our faith, very important to us, very important. And we need them reinstated again in the church and in the body of Christ. If the foundation of your house is not right, no matter, it's going to create failure in that structure and do damage to it long term. What a sad day for the American church. This foundational doctrine, the laying on of hands, completely ignored in some churches. Don't believe in it. Don't practice it. If a prayer for the sick is offered, rarely does it include the laying on of hands. Yet the Word of God says that the laying on of hands is a foundational stone in the church. This principle must be carried forward from one generation to the next generation. That's why we need our children to understand these principles of God's Word. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand. Notice that God's power is released through his hands. And God tells us to commission the hand of the Lord. That's why Mark recorded it like this. And these signs shall follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So if you're sick, infirmed, if you're bound, if you're in a battle and struggle, believe, because he can and he will. Put God first. Then these things will be added to you. When hands are laid upon you, that's your point of contact. We're not just praying. We're not just wasting time. We've been with Jesus, ready to serve and ready to watch people be free. Amen? And we have to humble ourselves and ask, I need help. I need prayer. Is any sick among you? Let him ask, right? Let him ask. We don't want to ask. Too proud to ask. That doesn't work well with him. When we humble ourselves and ask, that's when God responds. That's why I encourage you to be back at 6 o'clock for Sunday night and to bring your children with you, because we lay hands on people. We believe God for miracles and for breakthroughs. And without this opportunity, if not on Sunday night, when? We come into agreement. If two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Amen? Then expect your miracle. Expect your healing. He can and he will. Expect heart issues, blood pressure issues, infirmities, pain, cancer, chronic infections, chronic inflammation to be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. When someone lays hand on you who's been putting God first, we're placing our circumstance into the hands of God and commissioning him to take care of our business, to commission increase, to commission health, to commission blessing, to commission favor, to commission turnaround in our lives. And when the enemy attacks, you hold up your hand and tell that enemy, talk to the hand. You say to that adversary, I stand here by the mighty hand of the Lord. And I'm praying that the hand of the Lord will be upon Calvary Christian Center. It says in Acts 5, through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. God uses our hands, right? A point of contact to work his works in our lives. So I'm praying for the release of God's power from his hands upon our families, upon our health, upon our business, for supernatural increase and multiplication. And we must have the hand of the Lord once again in America. We need it in our nation. The hand of God upon us leaves us too blessed to be stressed. We'll see the goodness and the favor of the Lord once again in our culture. Jesus' hands were pierced as a part of the crucifixion. Therefore, when the hands of Jesus come upon you, it says to your enemy, the covenant of God is upon this child. I walk in the covenant promises of the Lord. Amen. And we pray it at the end of each service. The Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. We pray that prayer. It's the covenant of God represented in the hands of the Lord. He will bless you. He will keep you. He will protect you. The angels of the Lord are given charge over you. The power of God is released in you through the extended hand of God in covenant. And his hand is not short. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Get on the side of the Lord. He wants to help us, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and fingers with iniquity. God, help us here. Hands are defiled with blood. If you believe in the science of masks, but not the science of life beginning at conception, then you do not believe in science. You believe in political ideology. We need to speak up. We need to act. We need to pray that the Supreme Court takes a hard look at this factually and stops the bloodshed that our hands are guilty of in the United States of America, and repent of our wicked ways. Amen? For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. God, forgive us. Let us humble ourselves. Let us turn from wickedness. Let's put God first again. His mighty hand will manifest again. Goodness. I am energized and excited and anointed to preach to you biblical truth, the likes of which we haven't heard in decades. We're ready for a new level. We're ready for a great awakening. His hand will sustain us. His hand will strengthen us. In the natural, we can't fix this mess, okay? In the natural. It's not going to get fixed in the natural. And here's how we can do it. The hand of the Lord, a fresh touch of heaven upon us. Not just so we feel good, but so we get the job done that we're commissioned to get done. Lifting up holy hands, the scripture tells us in 1 Timothy. I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. I sense an urgency in my spirit today. There will be great miracles in these last days. The Lord replied to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, who has the spirit in him, and lay your hands on him. So Moses did as the Lord commanded. He presented Joshua to Eleazar the priest and the whole community. Moses laid his hands on him and commissioned him to lead the people, just as the Lord had commanded through Moses. The Moses generation laid hands on the Joshua generation to bless them, to speak God's blessing and anointing upon them, the plan of God, the will of God, the health and increase and success and the wisdom of God to be passed to the next generation. And dads and moms, place your hands on your children and bless them. The hand of the Lord shall be upon them. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him as the Lord had commanded Moses. Right? Jacob blessed his sons and Joseph's sons, laying his hands on them and believing God to commission them. And they became exactly what God told Jacob they would become. Look at your hands. The ability to affect future generations is in your hands. In Acts 8, they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. In Acts 19, when Paul laid his hands on the people, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And notice that gifts and callings are coupled. God never calls you to a ministry without gifting you to accomplish it. The gifts and callings are coupled. And He will never call you to a ministry without equipping you with the ability, gifting you to accomplish. Well, God's calling me to sing. If He didn't gift you to sing, and then we're going to question God's call, right? Okay. But if God has called you to sing and you have a gift to sing, you need to be rehearsing with our team. If God's gifted you to play an instrument, and He's calling you right now by the Holy Spirit that you should be using your gift He gave you, don't be like the foolish guy who buried his gift. That didn't turn out real well. But use it. Let it be multiplied. And you'll be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Amen? Calling and giftings. Your gifts can be stirred up. Say, well, I haven't done anything like that, Pastor, in a long time. I've gotten kind of rusty, and I don't think it's appropriate now. I'm kind of getting past the point where God can use me. Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Stir it up. Go revive it. Go get that instrument back out. Go practice. Stir it up and use it for the kingdom of God, because His kingdom is relying on you to participate. Wow. So, Pastor Michael, bring your team. Let's all stand. Let's lift our hands to God and say, Lord, I want to be on your side. I want to be on your side. Amen. It's not about my life or my gifts or my callings or what it is I want to achieve. Are you going to be on my side, Lord? No, that's not the question. I want to be on your side. And then everything else will fall in place. Everything else will be where it needs to be, and the needs you have will be met. So lift your hands for a moment, would you? Close your eyes, and let's just hold steady for a couple more moments. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your blessings in our lives. You're a good God.